From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. It's Locked On Chiefs, and your team went down to Mexico and fought and struggled and clawed their way to a little bit of a lead, tried to give it away, and ended up just getting right back where they started. I'm lucky to be here with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing okay after that game, Ryan. How about yourself?
I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it. You know, there was one play tonight that Shady took the ball, went left, ducked a guy, spun around, and then just decided to cough up the ball for no reason. I feel like that whole game was synopsized. How do you say that? Wrapped up in that one play this whole game.
Hey, it's the behaviors you consistently put on tape. And at this point, you know what? Across the board, whether it's Shady or anybody else, Chiefs putting pretty consistent behavior on tape of being a team that can't quite play a full game.
No. Can't put it away, but I'll give them credit for what they've been lately. They didn't do what I thought they were going to do. I've been preaching for weeks about you have to stop Melvin Gordon. You have to go after the run. And while they weren't pretty about it, especially early, I think overall they got a good handle on it and were able to keep him in check at least.
They made some great adjustments in the second half, and I'll be very interested to hear if Steve Spagnuolo, when we next hear from him, if he can remember this game long enough to tell us anything. But because it was a different defense between the first and the second half. The first half, they really just thrived on making a couple of plays, and in the second half, they really shut the Chargers down. I mean, other than a couple of big balls from Rivers that he connected on, and frankly, I mean, and except for the pass interference calls in the third quarter, I mean, that was the only thing that was sustaining the Chargers' drives early in the second half. So it was a completely different defense. I mean, they came out that third quarter is when they won this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and just kind of limped along. I mean, Mahomes on the day only went for 182 yards. They kept themselves in it for long enough to get there. Man, I don't know what the switch was either. I'm looking forward to when you find out what that was, because nothing seemed to be really clicking early for the offense, and they just kind of grounded out enough to get something done. 9-9 at the half, or 9-10 at the half. How do you feel about where Mahomes is right now after this game?
Physically, he looks like he's fine. I mean, especially being able to scramble for 60 yards. I mean, it's a new career high tonight. Getting out, and that was the one thing that was missing against Tennessee, was his ability to scramble, extend plays, and get out of the pocket when he needs to. Tonight, he looked fine across the board. I'm curious to see if the altitude was a problem for him, that maybe that was making it a little bit more difficult to connect on some of the balls. Part of it too, just give it to the Chargers. I mean, defensively, I think they had a really good game plan. They did get some pressure to Mahomes. They made him uncomfortable. They forced him to get rid of the ball more quickly than he wanted to in a few different times. And they really, I thought, did a pretty good job of really cracking down on the Chiefs' RPOs. That was really missing from the Chiefs tonight as far as, what they were hitting on. So, I mean, some of you just have to give the props. The Chargers had a great game plan and managed to slow down Mahomes. But the Chiefs, once again, I mean, they won this game because they were able to make the handful of big plays that they needed.
Yeah, and that Chargers defense, like you said, was able to get it to the point that we haven't had to see Pat Mahomes get to before, where they're stopping you enough that the last option is you got to use your legs. I mean, this is career high, 59 yards tonight? Just not expected when we started this football game.
No, I mean, if you had told me that the Chiefs were going to win this game with Mahomes going for 182 passing, I said you were crazy. I mean, there's no way they're going to win a game like that. But they did. I mean, and some of it was just great timing. I mean, they put everything together in the third quarter. I mean, they had two great drives that really helped put this game away. Other than that, they really didn't get a whole lot done offensively, but it was the defense that chipped in when they needed to. And the Chargers helped them out, turning over the ball four times. I mean, that'll do it for you.
Yeah.
So, that will keep any team the ball game. So if you get +3 in the turnover margin, you should win that game. Probably a little more comfortably than the Chiefs won this one, but you should win it. And they did.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was really the key. If you give four turnovers and lose, you're officially broken. There's nothing left. That's just all there is to it. And speaking of broken, there's a couple of injuries. Real quick, Tyreek Hill went out, did not return. Looked at, to me initially like it was cramps, something in the hamstring, but it was enough that Rick Burkholder did not put him, allow him to come back in. Do you see anything permanent from what you saw?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, they obviously worked on him a little bit on the sideline. He went back to the locker room. Somewhat of a positive sign that at least he came back out and was on the sidelines for the entire second half. But the fact that he doesn't come in, yeah, it makes you worry a little bit about, you know, what that can be, because hamstrings, they can be tricky. I mean, if it was anything more than cramps, you got to think he would have come back in. So we'll see. The week of rest coming up with the bye week couldn't come at a better time for that.
Absolutely. Folks, when we get back, we're going to dig into a couple others, another injury and a couple of guys returning from injury that made an impact. So we'll be right back. So not only Hill, the Chiefs lost Damian Williams at some point. I don't recall exactly when it was. He wasn't terribly productive until that point, but looked like he took a hit to the ribs, and that's what they listed it out as well. That's kind of a lingering injury that we've seen happen before. I don't know if he's going to make it back, but what was your impression of how LeSean and Darryl responded in his absence?
Well, they did okay. I mean, you know, McCoy had the one really nice play that we talked about earlier, and then has the fumble on the end of it. Really, Darryl Williams was more the star of this game. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot on the ground running the ball for the Chiefs anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, Williams did have a couple of, you know, at least he had a couple of big plays at the right moment. He had the touchdown run. McCoy had a touchdown run. It was really surprising to me just how much the Chargers were able to take the Chiefs running backs out of this game, not only running the football, but in the screen game as well. Chiefs tried to go to that well quite a few times, and it wasn't there tonight. But really concerning with the rib injury with Damian Williams, and then you lose McCoy late in the game for a concussion evaluation. We'll see if there's anything long-term with that. Once again, the bye week might be coming at a right time to help you out, because now you're getting down to where you just got two healthy backs on the roster in that situation.
Right. And I love to watch Darryl run. I enjoy the way that he runs old school, but it is less efficient. It is slower. You are pushing yourself to the point where you can grind out first downs at that point. But I do feel that a lot of folks have been waiting for Darryl. You might get a shot at that if there's any lingering injuries. But I thought the reason that they were able to stay somewhat productive on the ground was because they had guys like Fisher back, like LDT back. We lost Ryder for a while. He came back in. I thought Wiz played better in his absence, to tell you the truth. But it looks like that starting five that we thought we were going to see all season long got it back together. And I felt like they made the difference in the run game.
Yeah, and getting that five back is a big deal. And I think you saw tonight, I think you'd have to come away with the conclusion that, you know, hey, the whole group is still not 100%. I mean, you know, with the injuries that they've had, everybody now on the offensive line has had an injury at some point. You know, Mitchell Schwartz was limited this week in practice. That left knee has been bothering him. Andrew Wiley, he's come back from the ankle sprain, but I got to think that's maybe still slowing him down a little bit. Getting all of those guys the bye weeks, I think, once again, it's going to be huge. Getting Fisher and LDT back into the lineup certainly makes a little bit of a difference. But if you can get everybody healthier and you get them some rest, I think it's going to make this bye week really critical across the board for this team.
And, you know, when you look at the season schedule like we did earlier in the summer, you know, I had a comment then that it really hit me that if you can get to this point, the advantage of having your bye week so late may actually be something that helps propel you through the playoffs. And it really looks like that's coming at exactly the right time, not only for these linemen, but for some of the other nicks and scratches that they have. We don't know what's going to go on at the defensive end position. Emmanuel Agba was put on IR just before the game, right? So how did you feel about the opposite side of the ball where Frank Clark really showed what he was here for?
Yeah, I mean, this was the biggest game you've seen from Frank Clark yet with the Chiefs, and he needed to have that. It was big, and it was big to me because, you know, this was a game that was tough for this defensive line. I mean, they only had three defensive ends. I mean, and I'm counting Chris Jones as a defensive end because that's what he had to play tonight a lot, you know, playing the edge, helping out there in the rotation. And, you know, losing to Agba, I mean, that's a blow. I mean, it's a big blow to this rotation. And playing at altitude, and you could see it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
There wasn't much left in the pass rush. I mean, especially when the Chargers were going no huddle there at the end and moving the ball, there was not a lot left in the tank. And it didn't hurt the Chiefs because in this altitude, there was nothing left in the Chargers offensive line tank either. I mean, they were really sucking wind too. So this game is an aberration because of that. But I think you saw enough from Frank Clark to feel like, you know what? Maybe he's getting over, you know, with the neck issue. Maybe it's getting a little bit better. Now, the asterisk next to it, Chargers are playing without their two starting tackles. So you should have beaten these guys. And they did. I mean, that's the good thing. They should have beaten these guys like a drum. And Frank Clark did.
Yeah, that's what he's paid for. He's paid to dominate backups. And my only point was that this is the first that I really saw him do his job where he looks like he should. I mean, you're not going to see him dominate against starting caliber tackles like this all the time, but this was the difference for him. And I felt like his play lifted his partners as well. Although I do think Chris Jones was affected by the altitude a little bit more than everybody else.
Yeah, I think all the big guys were, you know, that's makes sense in an environment like that. But, you know, Clark, he made the four plays that he needed to make. He definitely, obviously, he caused the interception that Naughty, you know, got, which will probably be you got to think the only interception that Derek Naughty is going to get in his career.
I mean,
a defensive tackle with an interception. Big guy interception. I love to see that.
Yeah, that's gonna be
and the near interception that Matthew had, that was also Frank Clark caused that. You know, he had the pressure on Rivers the entire game. I mean, and even even the final play, even as gassed as that line was, you know, Clark on the final play, he caused Rivers to have to step up in the pocket, and I think cause Rivers to throw that maybe a little bit more off balance than he wanted to, or maybe get a little bit more air under that ball than he wanted to, helps out Dan Sorensen get the interception. So I think Clark even then influenced that play a little bit.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I saw a couple of snaps that I'm going to be reviewing later in the week. We have a long bye week, but I felt like the absence of Ogbonogbo really showed in the rotation and just how much they got tired out. But I didn't feel like the interior guys, and we did see Pinnell make a couple of nice splash plays early on. We saw Saunders come in, and I thought played up to where he's been so far this year. And at the end of the day, he held Melvin Gordon under 5 yards of carry and under 70 yards total on the ground.
Yeah, and Mike Pinnell is a really interesting case because obviously it was the controversy last week with him not playing, and then the Chiefs just get run all over by Derrick Henry. This week he comes back, you know, I mean, as far as the ground game goes, did a pretty good job of holding Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler in check. I mean, it's not a guy like Mike Pinnell's fault that, you know, they're beating you out of the backfield in the passing game. But he looked really solid, and he gets his, you know, second career NFL sack, his first one with the Chiefs. That's turning into a fairly big acquisition because the Chiefs have had so many injuries inside. And they really need somebody to come in and be able to make an impact in the run game. And he's done that since he's gotten here.
And I felt like the run game really set everything else up, getting them ahead in the downs. I felt like they could play what they wanted to do coverage-wise a little bit better. They didn't have to go to that really small nickel until late in the game with Neiman and Sorensen. So I thought generally in the first half it played out pretty well.
Yeah, I was a little surprised with the rotation of going with three safeties so much in this game, if for no other reason than it looked like during a large portion of the game that Dan Sorensen was getting beat. I mean, his guys were open a lot, and you know, and some of it was just you know, some good scheming by the Chargers and some bad matchups. I mean, if the Chargers getting able to get up Austin Ekeler on Tano Passanio dropping back in coverage, that's a favorable matchup.
It is.
It's going to happen every once in a while.
I have to say, to Tano's defense, he did get blocked pretty well there. Right at he got rubbed right off of that route.
Oh, the chip absolutely helped. I mean, he was still going to be a fairly tough matchup for him. But the chip helped. I mean, that was good design. I mean, you know, as Andy Reid was going to say, tip your cap to the Chargers on that one. They schemed it up pretty well. But I was a little bit surprised that they went with that. I mean, I still think that if the Chiefs are going to go with, you know, five defensive backs, I'll be honest, I think they got more strength at corner than they do safety. And that's something that, you know, I think earlier on we would have said the other way around. But you look at how Rashad Fenton has been coming on. Another great night for him. Travis Ward is playing near Pro Bowl level. I mean, he's been just getting nothing but stronger throughout the season.
Oh, we're going to have to discuss that when we get back from this break, because I'm not seeing the same thing you're seeing.
Wow. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that.
All right.
I mean, I think Breland and Morris, I mean, I think they've been really up and down. There's been some inconsistency there. But I still, I'm starting to think that cornerback group, I mean, especially because the drop off down to Sorensen and some of the inconsistencies you've seen from him this season, I think the cornerback group is a little bit stronger.
I might be with you there. Folks, we'll be right back. We're going to dig into that. And I put it in my notes this way. And I put Sorensen and Ward right next to each other. And I called them both up and down because I thought a couple of the plays that Ward made early looked pretty good, but they weren't against primetime players. There's the backup tight end. There was the third receiver. I got beat badly by Williams early, got beat badly by Williams down the stretch. I am not that impressed with what Ward's doing. I still feel like in big time situations, he's still getting beat too much, and he's making up for it. Much like Sorensen with, I thought he blew that one touchdown to Henry, and then he comes back and saves the game at the end. You know, I think, I don't know how these guys deal with these emotional ups and downs.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I mean, that's got to be tough. And I mean, with Ward, yeah, I'm trying to remember if I think you're right. He was in the coverage on Williams. I'm not sure that I'd say that was blown coverage by him. I mean, that was just a heck of a catch by Williams. I mean, every once in a while, receivers are going to make plays, and he did that. I think that one thing that I think is, in addition to just, I mean, you're seeing some of the plays, you're seeing some of the breakups that he's had. I think that some of the other evidence you see that Travis Ward is progressing is that I think teams are scheming away from him. I think you're seeing more and more teams are attacking Rashad Breland. They're checking Morris. I mean, they're trying to, I think, you know, go after the Chiefs in some other areas. And you saw, you know, hey, Austin, you know, Phillip Rivers checking, you know, picking on Rashad Fenton. I mean, they're picking on other people in the back and that Chiefs secondary. So I think you're seeing, you know, a little bit. And obviously that goes to the matchups, and those are going to favor Travis Ward a little bit more. But I think he's been making plays when he needs to.
Yeah, and that's really the ultimate compliment, right? When you don't throw at a guy. So I see where you're going there. I mean, his last five games, what, 4, 3, 6, 7, and then 3 targets. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. I heard a lot of talk about how he should be their number one corner and he's the best guy that they got. And I'm just not seeing that yet, but I do agree he's making progress. I think the guy that we need to talk about is Fenton, not only because the scenario that I watched unfold, and I kind of paid particular attention to it because I don't like the way Keenan Allen conducts himself on a field. He made that one pivot route catch and got right in Fenton's face. And I didn't see Fenton react or anything like that. He comes back a drive later and starts making plays. And I felt like that fed into what he did down the stretch as well.
Yeah. You know what it looked like? Maybe it was a couple of times that the Chargers tried to get in the Chiefs' heads and did a little talking. And I think it blew up every single time. I mean, Rivers did the same thing. He started chatting at one point, and I think that's when things really kind of started turning the Chiefs' way. I mean, the Chargers have got a couple of guys who do that. And Keenan Allen has challenge this Chiefs secondary. I mean, go back to the off season, go back to last April. He took a real shot at this secondary group. And hey, a guy like Rashad Fenton, he wasn't on the team yet, but trust me, Chiefs were still using that as bulletin board material, making sure everybody knows what Keenan Allen said about them during the off season.
Oh, and he threw some shade on him just in yesterday's presser. I mean, yeah, he's not subtle about that. I think the question was about how much turnover there's been on the Chiefs defensive roster from last season till now. And he just kind of dismissed everything. He's like, we were just looking at the DBs anyway. So we knew. I mean, if you're going to go in that area, you're going to get stung eventually, no matter what kind of athlete you are. And he is a very good athlete, but I like to see that from a rookie bowing up. I thought Juan Thornhill actually showed up and played better than he has in the last couple of weeks. So the positive impact from the rookies on defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to start feeling pretty good about this rookie class. I mean, they've been kind of thrown in there into the fire, and some of them didn't get a lot of opportunities early, but you know, Colin Saunders, Rashawn Fenton, starting to get more and more, and the more you see of them, you know what? And the opportunities that they're getting, they're playing pretty well, and And Thornhill's been solid, I think, from the beginning. But I think you are seeing more and more consistency from him. Mecole Hardman, same thing. I mean, you're seeing him being a big play threat guy. Right now, I think you got to feel pretty good about this rookie class.
I have to agree with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing just what kind of steps they take forward, because there's going to be some questions whenever this season ends about where they're going to have to go there. We did get a little report here just a minute ago that Hill's hamstring was strained. That's what they're going to call it for now. That doesn't tell me a whole lot there. So we'll wait till he's back in Kansas City and they get some further testing on it. Does that give you a clue as to what to expect?
I mean, Will's, those things can be so tricky. I mean, you got to hope that you give him a couple of weeks off, that you come back for that Raiders game. He's going to be in okay shape. But hamstrings can be problematic. I mean, we got to see, and especially late in the season when it gets cold, I mean, hamstrings can really be a problem.
Yeah, I think that lends itself to the concept that as it gets colder and things are going to have to change in the way that you conduct this offense, you're always going to take shots, but not only the injury situation, and I'm sure Tyree can talk to Sammy about Hammy, but going forward about how to level it out a little bit, get a little bit more out of the run game. I thought it was very interesting. And I wanted to get your take on this particular. I think it was 3rd and 1 with Darrell and Mecole Hardman, of all people, in the backfield. And the thing that struck me was, okay, everyone knows they're going to try to run if Andy's learned any of his lessons from past weeks, right? So I was happy that they did run the ball. But is it still pushing it to, rather than trying to hit the edges or pitch or, you know, run a counter or something that's still within the realm of the run game to try and loosen up and not give that defense too much of a key or right where you're going? Is it just playing with fire to try and get too fancy back there with a wide receiver in the backfield?
You know, I probably would have thought so a few years ago, but seeing how the Chiefs have used that, I think it's just so effective. And you even saw last week, I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill finally, you know, after a while, finally got a kind of just a traditional run out of the backfield last week. And I mean, with Andy Reid, it can just be such an effective play to turn to every once in a while. I don't have a big deal with it. I mean, like I said, a few years ago, I thought it was really, really risky. But I think that Andy Reid uses it so infrequently, I think it's a good thing to do. I think it's kind of off tangent, but I think the problem and the concern over the last couple of weeks has been that this is a challenge that I think Andy Reid has had in the past, which is that sometimes at this point in the season, as creative as he is offensively and the things that he can do and he can come up with, sometimes it seems like this point in the season, he gets a little predictable. And I think you saw it a little bit last week. I mean, the Titans, I think, were obviously clearly ready for the screenplay on 3rd and 2. I think you saw it a little bit, you know, late tonight. You know, there was some conservative play calling, I think, in the last couple of drives when they're trying to extend things. And, you know, the short pass on 3rd down to Darrell Williams to the left that Ingram knocked down. Mm-hmm. That seemed a little predictable.
Yep.
You know, and all of this said with the caveat that Andy Reid's a creative guy. I mean, he's a genius. I mean, there's no doubt about it that he's one of the most creative guys in the league. I think he can get out of it, but, you know, it seems like it's been a typical thing, you know, the last 3 or 4 seasons, that sometimes you get to this 3-quarter mark in the season, teams start to pick up a little bit on his tells, and that's when you got to mix things up.
We'll try to get back with you before you have your mini vacation after we hear more from the Chiefs locker room. But thanks for hanging out with me tonight and going through all this.
Absolutely. Great talking to you, Ryan.
Thanks, folks. We will be back with you tomorrow. When we get an update, you will get an update. Thanks for listening today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.